Second chapter, beginning with the fifth verse, where we read a famous hymn, really. It's poetry, explaining who Jesus is and his mission. So hear the word of God. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we're continuing our series on WPC at the Movies, where we're looking at some films and seeing what faith connections there may be. And I have to tell you, this is one I completely missed the boat on, because I understand that Warner Brothers sent pastors a press packet about Man of Steel, which is the latest in the Superman series. Superman has been around for 75 years now. It was created in 1938. Action Comics, number one. And now there have been, well, George Reeves. Some of you remember George Reeves, the black and white Superman, right? Christopher Reeve. And now there's a guy, and I can't even tell you who he is. But Kathy tells me he's pretty good looking. Anyway, Warner Brothers sent out a press packet to pastors with, like, sermon outlines about how Jesus is sort of like Superman. I didn't get this packet. So you're stuck with whatever I can come up with this morning. They're also giving out free tickets. That's the part I really wish that I'd seen. Anyway, so Man of Steel, of course, is the story of Superman. And, you know, there are some parallels. You know, you think about who knows the name of Superman on Krypton. Anybody? Come on, you aficionados out there. Kal-El, right? Which El, of course, you know, is Hebrew for God. A little play there. Kal, some say maybe voice of God is the sort of a play on words they were going for there. But clearly there's a connection there. You know, if you know the Superman story, and who doesn't know the Superman story, you know, he's born on Krypton in a challenging time. The planet is about to explode, and there's sort of a miraculous birth, the first actual birth of a child in centuries, in the latest Man of Steel version. So there's a spectacular birth. If you watch the movie, there are some places where Jesus adopts the crucifix form. Maybe most importantly, Superman is someone on a mission. Superman is on a mission. His father, Jor-El, as he sends him off from Krypton, and then later he keeps appearing to guide his son, he says, "You can save them," talking about us, we earthlings, "you can save them all." Well, that sure sounds like a bit of a parallel. In fact, maybe this is a good time to sort of watch a little clip from Man of Steel.
Can I just keep pretending I'm your son?
You are my son. But somewhere out there, you have another father. He sent you here for a reason. And even if it takes the rest of your life, you owe it to yourself to find out what that reason is.
Okay, I'm sure you got the whole movie from that. But one of the great things about this movie, I think, is that this movie tries to show who Superman is. Why he is the way he is. Why does he stand for goodness? And all through the movie, he's like a good guy. He's a good guy, but why? Well, if you watch this movie, it's because of his parents. Both sets of parents, the parents that he has on Krypton, you know, his father who gives him a mission and continues to guide him, but also Martha and Jonathan Kent, the Kansas folks in the heartland who adopt this strange visitor from another planet and who raise him. It's really a beautiful testimony, and all through this movie it shows it in a very, very wonderful way how this family is a family and how young Clark is guided by his parents to become a good human being. It's really something about the power and the possibility of being a parent to really shape our children for good, for good. It's very powerful that way, very strong that way, and very moving. And it's really, you think about Batman, you know, a lot of us have seen the Batman movies. You know, Batman is about how a childhood trauma, has affected this child and turned him into a good guy, but something of a vigilante. Well, Superman is the opposite of that. Superman is how a good childhood really shapes and forms a young child into a good and kind and really fully human adult. It's done really, really nicely in this movie, in Man of Steel. It's worth seeing just for that. There's also a good minister scene in this movie. I always like good minister scenes because there are so few of them. You know, ministers are usually sort of like foolish, doddering, helpless people or charlatans in the movie. But here's one when Superman, well, I should say Clark Kent, is trying to figure out really if he dares to use his powers because his earthly father, Jonathan Kent, has been worried about what the world would do to him. What would the world do to his son when they find out his great powers? And he actually goes to talk to his minister for advice, which I think is, you know, sort of flattering in a way. He goes to a young clergyman who seems a little bit wiser than his years, and when I look in the mirror, that's, of course, still how I see myself. And he goes in and he asks him, what should I do? And very much like me, this clergyman isn't sure what to say at all. But at the end, he sort of blurts out, well, sometimes first you have to start with trust. You have to trust a little and build on that and go from there. And when Clark Kent leaves, that's sort of what he does. He steps out, he says, well, I need to do something. This is part of my mission from my father in Krypton, and it's part of what my earthly father said too. If there's a reason, there's a reason for you being here, and if there is a reason, you need to find out what it is, and you need to live into your calling, live into your destiny. And he decides he's going to trust enough to step out and do that. That's part of a great tradition in the church. How do we decide what we believe about God, what we believe about Jesus, who he is? And for centuries and centuries and centuries, there's been a tradition in the church called faith seeking understanding. That you start with a small step of faith and you seek to understand more. And the whole idea from early church fathers and mothers is not that you sort of figure all this out on your own, and not that there aren't questions, not that there aren't challenges, not that there aren't difficult moments in life. The ancient people were just as aware as we are of the challenges to faith, about the questions about whether there's a God or not. Why do terrible things happen? They were just as aware as we are. But their counsel was to seek to answer those questions from within, to take that step of trust, to take that step of faith, and seek more understanding. That we can understand our world, we can understand ourselves, we can understand what's going on around us better from that perspective of faith, even with all the questions, with all the doubts, with all the wonderings we may have. And it's all encapsulated in that little thing, that little scene where that young clergyman says, sometimes you just have to start out with a little bit of trust. Well, I think we have one more clip that is, for some of us, will be the more familiar version of Superman. And I think it's worth remembering this, and feel free to say the words with it if you wish.
than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. And now, another exciting episode.
Strange visitor from another planet, with abilities and powers far beyond that of mortal men and women. That's the Superman I grew up with. And I think sometimes that's the Jesus that we see. Strange visitor from another planet, with powers far beyond ours. But you know, the teaching of our faith throughout the centuries has been that Jesus is not a person of far greater power. Did you hear the scripture from Philippians? That Jesus, though he was in the form of God, though he was God, did not count his equality with God as something to be exploited or taken advantage of, but he gave it up. He gave up his godness to become a human being, a complete human being, no different than us. And of course, to see that and know it, all you have to look at is what happened to him. That Jesus was just as vulnerable to the nails, to the cross, as any of us. Jesus does amazing things, heals people, touches people, acts of power, but he does those things by the power of the Holy Spirit in him, which is a power that is that we all can tap into. So Jesus is not like Superman this way at all. He is not a strange visitor from another planet. He is as we are, as vulnerable as we are, and that's, of course, the whole thing. Because if Jesus shows us who God is, then God is vulnerable too. God is vulnerable to the sufferings that we endure, the loneliness, the pain, the sorrows. That God shares that with us. The other major difference between Jesus and Superman, actually, there's probably about a million, but a huge one, if you've seen this movie, who's seen this movie, by the way? I mean, at the end of this movie, it goes on and on and on. It is the longest fist fight I think I have ever seen. And this fist fight is between Superman and one of the people from Krypton who... Anyway, it goes on. I mean, New York City is practically... Well, excuse me. Metropolis is practically destroyed by this fist fight with people bouncing off buildings and shattering bridges and scooping up asphalt. Until at the very end, Superman does manage to punch him out. Now, I don't understand this. I asked my movie kids, what did I miss in this? Why is it that this last punch was enough when the 247 previous punches were not quite enough to do the job? But apparently that last punch had something extra in it. That's not the way of Jesus. That's not the way of Jesus. Jesus does not use violence. Jesus uses the power of love. And love will not force someone to do its will. Love will not coerce. Love does not compel. Love gives the beloved the freedom to do, to respond, to act however the beloved one wishes. Jesus is the power of love. Now, you can say that doesn't work. Sometimes it may not. But, you know, violence doesn't work all that well either. Violence begets more violence. What did Gandhi say? An eye for an eye, a tooth leaves all the world blind. That's very poetic. My image of this is Space Invaders, which is the old video game. I'm really going back now, where you're shooting at these invaders, and when you destroy them, you create more space invaders. Violence can be like that. Create more enemies. We're seeing that now, again, in Afghanistan. I'm not going pacifist on you. Sometimes you have to stand up to the bully. But when you do so, you have to recognize that you haven't fixed, healed, won the battle. Even some of our, in American history, some of our most famous figures knew that. You know, when Lee surrendered to Grant at Appomattox, Grant, General Grant, at the end of the Civil War, allowed all of the Confederate soldiers to take home their horse and their weapon because he knew they had to go on living. And that was the beginning. That was a recognition that violence alone doesn't solve anything. And Lincoln, you know, when Lincoln was urged to take out all the effect of 4 years of war on the Southerners, on these terrible enemies, to just destroy them, Lincoln, of course, said, "Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" Napoleon, who conquered Europe at least twice, I think, Napoleon said at one point, you know, "I have conquered all of Europe, but my empire rests on the power of force." He said Jesus' empire rested on love, and at this moment, countless people would give their lives to follow him. Frederick Buechner wrote that love is the most powerful force in the world because love alone can conquer the human heart. But he also said love is the most powerless because it can do nothing except by invitation or welcome. This is something I learned from this movie. I've always thought that S was for Superman, and I always sort of thought that was sort of stupid. I mean, if you're going to design a costume and you put an S for Superman on there, I mean, about 15 years ago, Stephanie Valco, Dave's daughter, who's now in college, she started calling me Pastor Man. She gave me a little Superman figure with a little P on it. It's adorable. But we find out in this movie that S does not stand for Superman. S is actually some Krypton symbol for hope. For hope. When I look at the cross, you see they're not something beautiful, not a lovely polished stone, not a star or a moon, or you see an implement of suffering, of sorrow, which suggests to me that the emblem of our faith and our faith itself takes life seriously as it comes to us. And yet, this cross is an empty cross because it reminds us that Jesus is not dead. He's not gone. He is risen. So the last word is not death, not sorrow, but life. So in a strange kind of a way, like this symbol that Superman wears on his chest, I think the cross as well is a sign of hope. Pray with me. Gracious God, we are but mortal men and women. And you know that not only because you made us, you know it because you are one of us. You are one of us in Christ, who loved us enough even to go to the cross, so that we would know that the last word that you speak to us, the final word, is always love. In Christ's name, for Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes, we pray. Amen.